Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware-Peek, here with John Wells. Well, the Silicon Slopes Park City chapter was founded just last summer by our first guest, Adrian Stalder, who joins us now in the studio. Silicon Slopes Park City chapter already has over 200 members. The first meeting featured a talk by local tech guru Jeff Atkinson of Huckabye. And the next meeting, next Wednesday, November 14th, features Lonnie Main of Red Shoes Living. Main is an internationally recognized keynote speaker and executive performance advisor to many of the top brands and most influential leaders in business and in life today. Adrian's in the studio to preview this talk and to also tell us about his new tech startup, Salad.io. Adrian, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Happy to be here.
Well, so we're going to ask you and put you on the spot about a couple of things, but let's start with Silicon Slopes Park City chapter. Now, I was pretty amazed both to look at Silicon Slopes Utah website and then also the Park City chapter, which has like 240 members, and you just started. So it shows that there was a void. It's now being filled, and it's an appropriate time.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally right, Lynn. I actually moved here only a couple months ago, and I got in touch with Silicon Slopes through a former coworker at Boston Consulting Group. And so I asked them if there is anything going on here in Park City, because if you think about Silicon Slopes, I mean, we got the Olympic slopes right in front of us here in Park City and Deer Valley, and no one was doing anything. So I told him on the spot, I'll put something together and get something started. So here we are today, or a couple months ago, when we had our first event with Jeff Atkinson from Huckabye. And we're looking forward to actually build a community around this.
Yeah. So can you talk about Silicon Slopes Utah? I noticed that it's this huge organization. You say like 250,000 people belong to it. And I think many of us have heard about all the tech companies in Salt Lake and even the tech companies here in Park City, but we don't really know the full story. So maybe you can share that with us a little bit, at least what you've learned since you've become involved.
Yeah, no, I was actually amazed by the startup scene here in Utah. It's one of the best ecosystems in all of America and in all of the world. And a big part of it is actually Silicon Slopes as an organization. Their goal is to be the voice, the hub, and the heart of Utah startup and tech community. And there's a total of 6,500 tech companies and startups in Utah. I was amazed to hear that number when I first got here. When you think about technology, it's always the hubs of Silicon Valley or Boston or New York. But actually, if you look per capita, I think Utah is probably the most active of all. And I mean, that's part of what Silicon Slopes also wants to bring together, is bring this community together through different events on an ongoing basis, as well as their tech summit every January of the year, where they have up to 20,000 people coming together from all across the world to celebrate Utah's tech community.
Well, that's very exciting. And I agree with you that the community of startups is very rich here, and it's a story that a lot of people don't know. So in addition to encouraging people that have joined the organization and that are making technology, designing or building or financing it, or you know, some sort of connection, it's also good to tell our story to the rest of the world. I mean, one of the things, and Lynn and I have talked about this before, you know, Boston has a lot of really good schools. It's where I'm from, and University of Utah and that entire school system and the state school as well, you know, it's right down the hill, and it's very vibrant, and there's so many programs. I mean, it's really a great school, and a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's especially with BYU and with U of U, you have two of the nation's top universities. And I think that's what really makes this such a special place as well. You have a lot of people who want to live here. And if I think about a typical engineering talent as well, like half of them love outdoors, right? Mm-hmm. Utah, you can go to 7 or 8 ski resorts within a couple minutes, more or less.
Yeah.
I grew up in Switzerland. I think that's one of the only few places where that's also the case. And it's just amazing to be here where you can combine such a good lifestyle with such good tech talent from all over the place.
Yeah. And tell us what's involved in building a chapter from scratch.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think the way that Silicon Slopes wants to do this is they build the core infrastructure themselves and have the big events, but they want to build local communities. Because at the end, between St. George and Logan, that's quite a far stretch and you can't really centrally organize all of that. So when I first came here, I started one of the 12 regional chapters for Park City. And you get the infrastructure around it, like they have more or less like the platform, so you're integrated within the whole ecosystem. But at the end of the day, it's just building a community for Park City under an umbrella. It's very open. You can more or less do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. And I think what really helped us to get started here is there are so many tech people up here in Park City. The problem is just getting to them.
Yeah.
Because it's not that there are many tech companies themselves up here. So I think this is a way of reaching out to them and give them a place to meet on a regular basis, get to know each other. And I think we had amazing people to work with to start with. Jeff Atkinson from Huckabye, who volunteered for the first event. We have Rockwell Room, which is our host on Main Street. You probably know the Stoked Coffee Shop just mm-hmm. upstairs from there. It's actually a co-working space. And so that's where a lot of people are. Like Lonnie Main is also in that co-working space up there. Then also like Old Town Cellars, who gives us a good glass of wine for the event, which also helps, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned a few minutes ago that there are 6,500 tech companies in Utah. Do you have those numbers for the Park City area, like Park City, Summit County, you know, even Wasatch County? Do you have any idea?
I wish I had these numbers. I'll have to look them up, but I think it's probably below the hundreds because it is not the typical place where you build a company. And myself, we actually founded our company up here in Park City. The challenge that you run into is unless you're close to Salt Lake City, so let's say Kimball Junction, where Skull Candy, for example, is, mm-hmm. It is really challenging to attract talent across all levels that a company needs. Park City has an amazing pool of mid and senior level executives. Mm-hmm. But what is the lack up here is more like the ground level, the entry level jobs that you need to fill as a startup company. So you kind of need to make sure you can have the pull from Salt Lake City and Lehigh areas to actually fill all of your positions as you build and grow a company.
Mm. So, and actually the Rockwell Room is in and of itself a hub of tech startup companies, I think, in Park City that I know of. The Rockwell Room is, as you said, above the Stoke Coffee Company next to the Wasatch Brew Pub on Main Street in Park City in Old Town. And, you know, what a great place. I attended the first meeting of Silicon Slopes Park City chapter and listened to Jeff Atkinson speak. The room was packed. And then it was really nice because you uploaded the video of the talk, and I actually passed that around to a few people. I think it's pretty exciting what you do. And with over 200 members, you know, it shows how many people in this area are thirsty and have a large appetite for learning more about tech and are probably involved in tech in some way. As you mentioned before, there are a lot of executives in Park City who may have second homes here, mm-hmm. may base out of here. I'm noticing a new demographic that I've seen just in the neighborhood where I live in Park City, young families moving in to very, you know, expensive homes. And so I'm thinking that they must be tech folks who've moved from a more expensive market like San Francisco area, Silicon Valley area. Do you see a lot of that as well?
Well, I do think Park City real estate is getting more expensive. And one of the reasons is that, yeah, I know a lot of people from the Bay Area, just like myself, who move here, and it's still quite a lot more affordable than living in the Bay Area. And I think what a lot of these folks can also do is remote work. Mm-hmm. Because let's say they've been for 5 to 10 years of a company like Facebook or Google. They're becoming very integrated in that company and they can take out that privilege and actually go abroad. And I mean, it's an hour and a half to the Bay Area from here with an airplane. That's why we have so many people on the ski slopes and now also living here, right? Because it is a beautiful place to live in, and especially with a young family, fantastic schools here. You can play right out of your front door. It's beautiful. And I think that's why we see that. And I'm sure it's not only the Bay Area that attracts people to come here.
So for our listeners that are potentially interested in joining Silicon Slopes and joining the chapter here in Park City, what are the requirements? How do they get in touch with you? What's involved?
That's a good question. I don't think there are any requirements except being excited about technology, entrepreneurship. There's no previous experience required because we want to be an open community. This is about bringing people together who are interested in a topic. Doesn't matter where you work at the end of the day. And to get in touch, the easiest is go to the website on siliconslopes.com/park-city. And there you can sign up for the chapter, can see the events, sign up for them. And yeah, we hope to see a big crowd again next week on Wednesday for our second event. I'm personally very excited about Lonnie's talk. He actually got us into Rockwell Room here and kind of to this heart of Park City's startup scene directly on Main Street. So I'm really excited for actually having him give our second talk.
And let's talk about your company, Salad.io. Tell us about it.
Well, it's obviously a very healthy company, as you can tell from the name. .io is where it comes a bit more of the technology part. So Salad is a company in the blockchain and gaming space. Salad comes from, because blockchain is more than just the sum of its ingredients. It's just like a good salad. You throw together a couple good things, but it becomes something even better. What we identified, my co-founder Bob and I, is that blockchain technologies are still quite difficult to understand for a lot of mainstream users. However, there's a massive potential. So when blockchain transactions get verified, you often hear about how much energy is used for that. And the reason is because these are difficult mathematical puzzles that need to be solved to verify blockchain transactions. You can actually make a lot of money by verifying these transactions. And especially gamers have extremely good computers at home that are extremely well suited to solve these puzzles. So our company is actually enabling gamers to get easier involved in that and makes, let's say, $10, $20, $30 a month by running, like helping to actually do these transactions. And instead of giving them something like Bitcoins or Ethereum and you tell them you get 0.0923 Ethereum and they have no clue what that is or what to do, we actually give them something like an Amazon gift card. Or Steam is a big gaming platform, so they can buy a new in-game item or a new game to play with. So it's bringing a new technology to a completely new market through a better user experience and playing a little bit with the psychology of the end user to make it actually a good incentive for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole thing's so interesting that there are people, there are companies that are trying to mine bitcoins and other cryptocurrencies. So they have these devices with these graphical processors and they're churning away and they can really heat a house in the wintertime. I mean, they generate a lot of heat.
They seem to have some experience there, I see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I've just seen it in action. And then you've got SETI, which is interestingly, you know, they're looking for life outside of our planet here, and SETI uses graphical processors, mm-hmm. and then you've got the gaming community, and they use the same graphical processors. So for a while, it was really impossible. It was not impossible. It was difficult to get. There was a backlog because all you guys were competing for these graphical processors. Has that eased up?
Yeah, that would be a totally new. You should look at the latest stock prices from AMD and NVIDIA. They indicate a little bit on what happened in this market. And I'll save that for another time. But you're totally right. Like, let's go back maybe early this year. If you wanted to buy one of these graphics cards that you actually need to play a game, like one of the latest games, you want to have a very good graphics card for a couple $100s. They got introduced about 2 years from now. And 6 months ago, you paid 50% more than when they were first introduced. Because a lot of people bought them, put them in their basements to actually mine cryptocurrency and make money with it. Most of them didn't make money, by the way. Just as a side note. And we see that slightly shifting. And I liked what you brought with SETI at home. So let me quickly put this a little bit into perspective, because at the end of the day, what we're doing right now is we actually want to build the largest supercomputer in the world in a distributed fashion. Cryptocurrency mining is just a first step, because that validating these blockchain transactions is an immediate way of how I can take your computer when you come to my network and give you $10, $15 per month. We could do a lot more useful things with that. We could do things like SETI at home. We could look for extraterrestrial life. We could solve business problems. We could train AI algorithms for medicine, for example, genome sequencing. All of these tasks are massively computationally heavy tasks. Today, when you go to Amazon, most companies buy that compute capacity on the free market from like Amazon in a data center. That costs about $1,000, $2,000 per month for the same graphics card that we can get through our users, because gamers buy as good graphics cards. So suddenly we can actually help companies pay instead of $2,000 a month, maybe $200 a month. So you can start to actually solve a lot more problems out in the world.
So gamers have to sleep, you know, at some point. So when they go to bed, what you're saying is that they sell a distributed piece of their compute capability. Is that what you're saying? I mean, that's what SETI started out doing years ago, where all these people had all these PCs and you could, you know, look for life on other planets while you were sleeping, or you could give. Actually, it wasn't for money. It was donating your capacity. And what you're talking about is compensating the people that give you compute cycles.
That is correct. May I ask, do you have any kids, John?
I do.
Do they play any computer games?
Not really. My kids never got into it, no.
Well, on average, if you look actually at computer gamers, I would have asked you how long they play per day. What we found extremely fascinating is the average gamer plays like 2 hours a day. It's only. That means 22 hours of the day you have a computer that is just standing idle. The image that most people have of a gamer is the person who sits in their basement, plays day and night.
Yeah.
That's the image we have, but reality is very different. So if you think about it, you have 22 hours high-end computers that Amazons and the like put into data centers. They're just standing around idle. So that's what we actually want to get to, as you mentioned. We want to make this resource useful. It's like similar to an Airbnb or an Uber, the shared economy where you actually use an completely underutilized resource and make it more broadly accessible.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Adrian Stalder. He is the founder of Salad.io, which is a company we're talking about right now. It's just getting launched, a tech startup from right here in Park City, up on Main Street in the Rockwell Room, which is a co-working space. Turns out a lot of startup tech companies up there in the Rockwell Room. He's also the founder of the Silicon Slopes Park City chapter. Next Wednesday, November 14th, there will be a talk by Lonnie Main, who is he's the CEO of Red Shoes Living, and he does a lot of executive talks, keynote speeches all around the country. I want to get back to Salad.io, but I want to make sure we talk a little bit about Lonnie because we want to attract some people to listen to him. What is Red Shoes Living? It's sort of a concept for how you go about realizing all the possibilities in life and putting yourself front and center. And what do you know about what he does?
Oh, no, that's a great question, Lynn. I actually got in touch with Lonnie the first time when moving here, and we looked for a co-working space, and we got in touch with Lonnie. So he got us to his office, and we were amazed by how great Rockwell Room is. And I remember his pitch of what Red Shoes Living is about. What I remember, and I'm sure he will do much more justice to this next Wednesday talking about it, but if you look at any kind of corporation, most people don't want to stand out. They just want to do their daily job and whatever. But if you think about red shoes, if you wear red shoes to the office, everyone will notice you. You will stand out. You will be seen by others. And his concept is around, like, how do you get everyone in a company or in a community to actually be able to get to that standing out and standing for what they want and really go above and beyond with their contributions. And I think that's what he's also going to talk about next week when he talks about the performance and art of the possible. So how do you get someone to actually achieve their maximum potential?
So if you're listening now and you're interested, you can either register or for the event. The event is free. It starts at 5 p.m. next Wednesday. You have, as you already mentioned, some nice wine provided by Old Town Cellars and food. And just an interesting sort of a networking opportunity and an opportunity to connect, whether you're in the tech industry or whether you're just tech curious like John and I are. And, you know, we love to talk and we invite many guests on this show that are like you in tech startup companies. And so it's very interesting. Was it all right to just show up at the door or?
Yeah, I mean, ideally register up front so we can make sure we have the right kind of count and can see the right venue set up. But please just show up. We love to have more people, and this is really about building the community. And we want to just make sure we have a good event around it. Come to mingle, get to know your neighbors, get to know who actually is in the tech industry as well up here.
Excellent. So Salad, back to Salad.io, because I want to make sure I understand this. I know John's got more experience on the topic. But so basically, you call yourself the Airbnb of computing, where you're taking so to make transactions with blockchain, you need to crack these very complicated algorithms. And that takes up a lot of capability. It uses an extreme amount of electricity as well. Mm-hmm. Similar to, and you need these complex graphics cards that are also in gaming computers. So you say, you claim that gamers don't spend 14 hours a day on their computers, and they have this extra capacity that can be sold and sort of distributed throughout a network. Which is a very interesting concept. So sharing the technology and giving them a little something, which is funny, an Amazon gift card in this case. but it makes all kinds of sense. Who are your competitors?
So there are a couple of competitors out there, and I use that term loosely because you could see a lot of different as competitors, right? I think John mentioned Sethi at Home before, which is a distributed computing project. But it's on a, you do that for free. It's a donation of your computing power. So that is certainly a competitor at the end of the day. There are some companies as well where they just give you, like you can download a mining software. You might need to have a little bit of coding knowledge, but then what you get is cryptocurrency coins like Bitcoin or Ethereum, which you then have to bring to a exchange, and then you need to transfer it to your bank account, so it's not immediately useful. And I think that's the big difference that we bring to these more basic algorithms. We gamify the experience to our target user and give them something they really want. And will have rewards that they can start checking out for like 1 cent. Like they earned 1 cent and they want some in-game item, or they actually earn $100 and want to get a $100 Amazon gift card.
So you mentioned earlier that the people that are doing the mining, that many of them have not made much money. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Well, then they're a prospect for your business.
They are as well, exactly. I think a lot of them are also selling their graphics cards now, and the market is getting flooded, but yes. And I think the reason why they didn't make money is they have to buy the equipment, then they pay for the electricity, they need to manage it, and then it takes you quite a long time until you paid back your equipment.
Right.
Now, if you talk about a gamer, they got everything anyway already.
Right.
So for them, it's all just income, right? So they have to pay the electricity, but that's it. So the case becomes much different.
So I've stayed in touch with Medici and the folks with the crypto, and we are running out of time, but I wanted to ask you just a quick question, if you can just give us a quick answer. And that is, you know, blockchain is the future. And also, we're killing the planet with all the things that we're doing. And the last thing we need to do is to use more electricity. What can they do to get around that?
So first of all, yes, I agree with you. Like, blockchain is the future. It might be further away than we think. So we think it's a rising tide and it's coming. There are things around proof of stake. So these computations that we talked about will run out. And there are other ways of doing it. So we will not use as much electricity in a year or two from now.
Okay. All right. Good.
Adrian Stalder, the founder of the Silicon Slopes Park City chapter, and also the founder of a new tech startup, Solid.io. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, the event is next Wednesday, November 14th at 5 p.m., the Rockwell Room.
Let's all join. Let's all join the Park City Slopes. You know, the local chapter. We're curious lay people. We love technology. All our listeners should join as well. We'll have fun.
Yeah, looking forward to see a lot of them. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Adrian.